I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3. If you need direction to that and you're not using a pew Bible, it's between Habakkuk and Haggai. Don't know if that helps a lot, but Zephaniah chapter 3, reading verses 12 through 20. For I will leave in the midst of you a people humble and lowly. They shall seek refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel, they shall do no wrong and utter no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. Then they will pasture and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. First of all, I want to clear up a misconception before we even begin. I have not lost half a year. If you notice, the title for this is We Gather Together. And I almost requested, and then I decided no. But I almost requested that we sing, We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He hastens and chastens His will to make known. And I haven't totally been thrown for a loop by the time change. And it will change again in early November. And we'll probably sing that song in November, since it's listed under the Thanksgiving songs. But today I want us to talk about gathering together to ask the Lord's blessing. In the context of Palm Sunday and of Easter. Because we do come with a sense of thanksgiving if we truly think about that Palm Sunday. And if we truly think about everything that Jesus has done and continues to do for us. We come with that sense of thanksgiving, much as those who waved palm branches, who placed them on the ground, who placed their coats on the ground as they gathered together to ask the Lord's blessing as Jesus entered. As they sang, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were gathered together as one, sharing in that cry of Hosanna and in that cry of asking for God's blessing in a very desolate and desperate time in their lives. So we gather together today to ask the Lord's blessing, just as they did, only we have a little more understanding, I hope, of God in Jesus than they. On this particular Sunday, the people were living in a time of uncertainty. Prices were up on everything, if you could even find enough to buy. Jobs were not as plentiful as before. Fears and anxieties were high throughout the land among the people. Some of it because of the terror of foreign armies. And there weren't any antidepressants to be found in their day. Families were being torn apart. People were wondering just how high the prices were going to go, how scarce the goods were going to become, if and when jobs would ever become more plentiful so that they could support their families. There seemed to be little peace in the world. Or perhaps we should say, there seems to be little peace in the world, for all of those things that were taking place at that time are still taking place today. They describe our current world, the current situation in our own nation, our own state, perhaps even in our own town and our own neighborhood. Questions of security in the homeland were great back then, and they are great even today. Just try to fly out. You have to show up extra early to get through the lines to get on a plane. Just try to drive into Canada or Mexico and then turn around and drive back and see just how strict some of those rules and regulations have become. And hope for them seemed to be out of reach, and for many today, hope sometimes seems to be out of reach. And then came Jesus. As He approached Jerusalem, their hopes began to rise and to grow. And they gathered together to worship, to ask God's blessing, to sing praises to God because of Jesus. To sing praises hoping that He would not forget His own. As our Thanksgiving hymn says, He forgets not His own. That was their hope, although sometimes they wondered, for the Romans were there, and there was not peace in the land. And years earlier, they still remembered that Herod the Great had ruled with an iron fist over His own people. And even in this day, they remembered that Herod's sons, who ruled on his behalf after his death and on behalf of the Romans, were not very pleasant folks at all. They were hoping that the wicked oppressing would now cease from distressing their lives, distressing their country. And perhaps some were even aware of the promises of gathering and restoration that we just read about in Zephaniah, the preaching of that ancient prophet. Promises that still could stir hopefulness even in a worsening world situation. The passage for reflection today from Zephaniah chapter 3 does deal with their anxieties and fears, but it also deals with the anxieties and the fears that we have even today. It deals with their hopes and dreams for God as their defender and the one who would make them free. Actually, in the book of Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 11 begins a brief section on the security and salvation of God's remnant, those who remain faithful to God. Not all of Israel, but those who turn to God, who accept God's grace and God's forgiveness, and who not only accept that, but accept the commitment to be responsible to live that grace and forgiveness in their lives. To share it even in desperate times when prices are up and jobs are down, and there seems to be very little hope in the world. For they were the remnant of God's children. The remnant, in contrast to those who were proudly self-righteous, but who proved to be rebellious. Those who had a lack of understanding of God's deeper things. The rebellious. The remnant, on the other hand, was humble. They were trustworthy and trustful. And they were upright. Therefore, would have nothing to really fear. Uprightness, honesty, goodness, integrity, not only with God, but with each other. The truly humble will trust in God. And Zephaniah says, those who are truly humble will find God's peace even in the middle of chaos. will find God's guidance even when there seems to be none in the world. God will be their protection. And the people that day, as they approached Jerusalem, maybe with Zephaniah's prophecy in mind, shouted, "Hosanna!" Where before they had been singing sadly, if at all, because of their woe is me world, now they break into a new song, a song of exaltation and a song of exaltation. Exaltation, rejoicing in God's coming triumph. Exaltation, rejoicing and glorifying God in their lives. So many times today our lives seem to be just the opposite of rejoicing, don't they? There's so much out there. There's so many things going on in our neighborhoods, in our country, in our world, and perhaps even in our own families. Maybe at work, things seem to be in chaos. Perhaps every time we look to go in, our stomachs churn because we're afraid of what we might face there, the uncertainties. Perhaps when we go home sometimes, we're wondering what's going to happen next. Perhaps as we greet our neighbor on the street and they snap at us because they've been having a particularly bad day, we wonder, what did I do? Or more likely, we snap back and turn and go the other way. It was that kind of a world in which they lived and in which sometimes we live. And so our lives seem to be so much the opposite of rejoicing. Yet Zephaniah calls on those who truly love God and return to God, this remnant that comes back to God, to sing out a new song, even when things around them don't seem to be going so well. Even when the world around them would seem to say, you need to sing a funeral dirge or sing, oh, woe is me. Zephaniah says those who are God's remnant will sing a new song. Why? Because, as verse 15 states, the Lord has taken away the judgments against you and has cast out your enemies. Many might see this as a hope and promise that their Romans would be overthrown by them. However, sometimes our own selves, and particularly our sins, are our enemies, which can bring us judgments and which can bring us to a place of destitution and desolation. And yet the new song is because God will cast out and overthrow even the enemies that are within ourselves if we will but return and allow Him to do so. And He does so in Jesus the Christ. He takes them away. He gets rid of them completely. And while oftentimes we remember them, God does not. For if we truly repent, God wipes them away completely. They're never recorded in any book anywhere, but wiped out. As one speaker said back in the Jesus movement of the 1960s and 70s, God takes our sins and throws them into the deepest part of the sea and puts up a no fishing allowed sign. Though sometimes we go fishing for them. Because we can't forget them. And yet God does. And He removes those from us in Jesus our Christ. Hosanna is what we should be singing because of that. According to Charles L. Taylor, Jr., the Hebrew here for taking away is the word from which the translation being prepared is derived in the story of Isaac's servant at Laban's house. A house prepared for hospitality and a heart prepared for God's hospitality is one in which things scattered about have been put in order, cleared away, and cleansed completely. And God says here, that He will do that. So also the verb is used in Isaiah 40, verse 3. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight His paths. What it may mean is to clear away the debris that clutters our lives and keeps God sometimes from reaching in and guiding us. We can gather together and we can sing a new song because God in the Christ clears away the debris that clutters our lives if we will but let Him. If we will but accept not only His grace in our lives, but if we will allow Him to clear away that which blocks our way. In verses 16 to 18, we find both promise and challenge, though, for those who would be the remnant, for those who would truly follow God in Christ. When it says, on that day, it doesn't refer to a judgment day, but to a day when we no longer have to fear. We often think when we read this passage, and I've heard many preachers who have dared to use anything from Zephaniah, because most of the time we don't use those Iah books, to say, see, this is a day of judgment. No, it's not a day of judgment. It's a day, if you really study the text, it's a day where God takes away the fear, and on that day we do not have to fear. It may be judgment day, but it may be today in our lives when we realize that God has taken those things away, gotten rid of that clutter that we've allowed God to get rid of, so that indeed we do not have to be afraid. And the promise continues. The promise of God to be victorious. The promise of God to be strong. The promise of God to be with us even in the middle of such a world. And that's good news. That should cause us to sing Hosanna, whether we're waving the palm branches or not. But there's also a challenge in verse 16 for us. We do not just sit back and collect a just reward. Verse 16 ends with the phrase, "Let not your hands grow weak." Literally, do not let them droop. The challenge is not to be slack in our lives when God does clean the clutter. Not to be slack with God or slack in sharing that good news and that grace that God gives to us with our neighbor. That person at work that we try to avoid because they're always sour or because there's friction. That person in the family. And most of us have one in our family that we try to avoid because the tension runs high as soon as we even approach family gatherings. That person in school, and not just your teacher, but maybe the person that sits across the room from you, that bullies you or scares you. That person wherever you may find yourself in your world. The challenge is not being slack. The challenge is to take that grace of God and to move forward with it. And to share that grace even when it's not returned. For who knows? In our sharing, they may too someday be able to sing the Hosannas, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The challenge is not to slack up. The challenge is not to be slack in our lack of gathering together, in our lack of good deeds for others, in our lack of serious praying, in our lack of serious studying, in our lack of lifting up physically and emotionally those around us. With faithful action on our part, as a response to God and God's grace, we won't be the only ones that benefit. Our world will be the recipients of Christ's entering our lives and entering theirs. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the people were gathered together. as one, the lame, the outcast, both of which are mentioned in Zephaniah, that God will rescue, the homeless, the needy, the hungry, those healed of sickness, gathered in praise of God in Christ. They were gathered like sheep by a shepherd, and they found restoration. Restoration for all who would commit to following. But following beyond the mere excitement of Palm Sunday, or Conversion Day, or Baptism Day. Following all the way home through a lifetime of Hosannas, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Forever praising God's name. For you see, the Lord makes us free. So we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing, to ask that He hasten and chasten His will to make known to us. For you see, He forgets not His own, even as we raise the palms, or the palms of our hearts. Rejoice, the King has come. Hosanna in the highest. May we pray. Our gracious God, we do sing our hosannas to You, asking that You would, as we gather together, lift us up, take our sins, give us more of Your grace. Help us, Lord, to share that grace, not just keep it within us, but to share it with those around, so that they too can find in our world reasons to sing Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, in whose name we pray and ask for Your blessings. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 320, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. We know that later that week, Jesus was on the cross, and hosannas turned to weeping and to wondering. And yet when we find ourselves truly beneath that cross and looking beyond into what God does for us in Christ, as we stand in that shadow, we can still claim hosannas. Our altar is open for any decision that you would make in the name of our Lord. Hymn number 320, Beneath the Cross of Jesus.